Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia, here on the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network, home of the TMGS, and let's talk about it with your host, Cotton Campbell, and the ladies of TMGN. I'm your host, Michael Gay, today, and the time is now 6:03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:03 p.m. on the West Coast, and today is the 2nd of July. July the 2nd, and in 2 days, it's the 4th of July. That is considered Independence Day, but for a lot of people, Independence Day was last month, Juneteenth. Okay? All right, y'all know. But anyway, but we're starting a whole new month, the second day into it, and this weekend already has started out with a bang. And when I say a bang, I mean it's the holiday weekend, and people are out shopping and partying and drinking and driving and doing stuff that, no, they shouldn't be doing. And you ought to know that 5-0, the law is going to be sitting in the back in the booth in the corner in the dark waiting on you. So please do not get out there drinking and driving, all right? Stay at home. All right. Okay, so. Hey, today we have some topics coming up. We got some things we want to talk about. Unfortunately, there's one story we're going to talk about, this incident with the truck that was full of individuals who unfortunately died trying to come here to America. And so we're going to talk about that, a few political things, some political bombshells that happened earlier this week. And in the second hour, we're happy to have him back. He's been on the show before. It's been about a year ago, in fact. Mr. Reggie Calloway of the iconic band Midnight Star, writer, producer, singer, arranger, composer. Well, composer is still writer, but Mr. Reggie Calloway is back. He's joining us because coming up this month, Midnight Star is going to be honored in their hometown, their home city, Cincinnati, Ohio, where they're going to be on the Cincinnati Walk of Fame. So we're looking forward to that when Reggie joins us. But in the meantime, let me open up these microphones here because we do have the lady of the house here, Janet Pollard Hawkins Davis.
Hey. How are you this evening, Michael?
I'm good.
Okay.
That's good. Started out kind of bad because I left the house, and just when I left, I reached back, reaching for my phone. And then I realized, wait a minute, something's missing. It was my wallet. So I had to go all the way back to get my wallet. And see, you can't make mistakes like that as hot as it is outside. You can't turn back around in the heat. You got to keep pressing forward, but you can't do nothing without your money. So, but otherwise, I'm all right. I'm right.
Well, that's great. Was that on your way to work?
No, I'm off for the day. I was going by the store.
Oh.
I was stopping by the store. And I was like, well, but see, the good thing, I didn't get all the way to the store. See, then I would have been real pissed at myself. Get all the way to the store and grabbing stuff. And then all of a sudden, wait a minute, where's my money? Yeah, that's bad. So, I'm off on Saturdays. I'm off every Saturday. I told you I'm off every Saturday. That was the stipulation. You know, that's funny.
Now, you could have called me sooner then. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? I had a lot, but you know what? I've been on the phone because, you know, by the way, I want to say to everybody, last Saturday, that was a great show. I mean, I've had folks contact me and said it was great. They really enjoyed hearing Karen. You know, what really was this the shocker of for Ashley to call in, her daughter. I didn't expect that. I didn't expect Ashley to call in, and that was really great. And I appreciate everyone who did call in. And it was, you know, I had some slip-ups, you know, during the show. But one good thing about it, we didn't have to rush. Like I said, extended the time. So we spent 1 hour, you know, doing what we normally do in the first hour, and I wasn't really sure how long Karen and Derek was going to stay with us. You know, I thought maybe 45 minutes or so, but, you know, she gave the indication, like, no, I'm here, you know, let's keep going. And then people were calling in as the show ran longer and longer, and so I added more time. So that's the good thing. I can add more time or extend the show when necessary.
Right.
So, but I thought it was good. It was a lot of fun, and really appreciate Karen and Derek for coming by. They're always very supportive and always a lot of fun to talk to. Let me open up another microphone here. We got another co-host joining us. Of course, the law has got to be in the house. This is the one and only Officer Crenshaw.
Hey, Crenshaw.
Hey, Janet. Hey, Mike. How y'all doing today?
Doing good.
All right.
I'm going to try to stay with you as long as I can. I got a date with Linda Carter. I'm excited.
Superwoman? I mean, Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Where are you
dress
flying
up like I don't have a date with her. I'm going
to
dress up like Wonder Woman. So.
You know what?
Who's
going to
watch the movie, Pinto?
Do us a favor. Please do not take a selfie, okay? Do not take a selfie.
Dude, I had to do that once. I am a gorgeous woman. I had to dress up once and walk down the street and be picked up by men that knew I was a man, dressed up like a woman. I thought I'd never do that again. Never.
First time with a charm, huh?
Dude, my nose stood out more than anything. They knew I was a dude.
And they still tried to hit on you?
That was the corner they put me on as a rookie. They put me out there dressed up undercover like that. That was my initiation.
That was undercover?
Undercover, yep.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. Oh, and by the way, I see Thomas here, but he hasn't waved his hand. I hope he pops in here because, it seems like every time we catch time and he waved his hand. He's in the middle of dinner, snack, or something. So, what's up, Timon? You guys, welcome, Mr. Timon Schill.
Timon.
Did you hear that, Donna? That's right. I am eating again. Hey, Crenshaw, I made sure I didn't have anything in my mouth when you said what you just said.
Didn't want to waste the food by spitting it out.
Did he just say he was dressed up as a woman?
Wow.
That'll slow you.
Craziness. Hey, Timon, I saw where you shared some information. Go ahead and share with us. You and another friend of yours just signed on with a production company, am I correct?
No, we signed on with Smith Young Entertainment, Smith Young Agency.
Okay.
They are out of Atlanta, as a matter of fact, but they're also here in L.A. They are our literary agent, as well as our literary agent is Robert Walker. Robert is also a publicist, and he got our project over to Macro Productions, which is Charles King, and they also have a management company called M88, where they represent Michael B. Jordan and Idris Elba.
Mm.
And so we're trying to get with them, as well as we have so they got our project, which is a script about my job. Over to Macro Productions. We're waiting to set up a meeting with them. They're also taking me on commercially. They're going to be my new commercial agents.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you.
Let us know.
You got to do like
make a commercial so we can make sure we see it. Yeah.
Well, if it's national, you will see it. Yeah, it'll be everywhere. If it's national.
Yeah, you got to do that Elvis Presley thank you, though. You got to do that Elvis Presley, you know. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. That's an Elvis.
Somebody was asking something?
Yeah, go ahead. Crenshaw was about to ask something.
No, I was just going to tell Tom, and I don't mind being that bag of dog food with Pete running as he's doing the commercial and stuff. So.
Hey, I hear you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's get into some of these topics here because this is kind of interesting. Well, not kind of, it is interesting. I got to pull up some of them here, see where they're at, and here they are. Okay, so this week, the January 6th committee brought in the bombshell, okay, this woman who worked in the White House. I don't recall her name, but I'll pull this information up. But the story she tells about what former President Trump did, allegedly being so upset, he threw a hamburger and a bottle of ketchup across the room. Now, someone said, no, that was a lie, because they cannot imagine Donald Trump throwing away a hamburger. What do y'all think?
I think he did. You know, do you recall the looks he used to give Fauci whenever Fauci would contradict him? I mean, if looks could kill.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I believe he can throw something against the wall.
But a hamburger?
That's his
favorite food, his hamburger.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, but now.
Mike, they do not want. It really wouldn't matter how many facts that we have, because they're going to open this up even worse. And you're going to find out this dude really could have set this country on fire. And pretty much all he did was stoke the fire that we have of divisiveness, people being divided on everything. think. He's brought back fear. He's brought back, you know, that whole replacement thing. Anything that places blame instead of saying what is. You know, if,
right.
if homelessness is up, you know, and somebody's making $300 billion, my thing is, I don't have a problem with you being rich. I have a problem with you being greedy. I have a problem with politicians getting their pockets, getting their hand, their palms greased by you, by these guys, and you're forgetting about your fellow man. You can get as rich as you want. Just don't shit on people and create what you are, and then go, oh my God, I can't believe we have this. What? That whole bootstrap crap, pull your foot, their shoe up. Ain't nobody even got the strap. Actually, that's not what that meant. If you look up on where that came from, that's not what they used it for. Same with, like, the IQ test. The IQ test was not made to show you, that, you know, how smart you are. It didn't do that. They want you to use it as a competition thing. Americans did it. The French, that's not why they created it. And that's what created this whole problem. Oh, my IQ is blah, blah, blah. You know, and they used it. You know, and it's really caused so many problems and so much backwardness that people are, you know, it's stopping a lot of people from us really moving forward and being the country that we should be. Now we're just a bunch of greedy-ass people, and we don't care.
Well, back in the day, that when they did the IQ, that determined also what classes you were in, whether you were in honors or regents or regular, you know. So I thought,
but that's
like
not
it
what the
major...
French created it for. The French created it, but it was not the Americans put this thing on it.
Mm.
You know, and they, you know, but it was only used to help promote white people. It wasn't used to help promote black folks. It was, if it was,
right.
It was used to demean them in some kind of way.
Well, I had a high IQ, but the thing is, they didn't. When I was in school, they didn't try to promote a black person to go to college. You know,
nope.
If anything, it was like do some kind of trade or be a secretary, but that was it. I mean, they never even said, oh, let's take SAT scores or, you know, take this so that you can figure out how you're going to, you know, be able to get into college. They didn't care. But, you know, I don't think they cared for the black.
No.
You know? Mm-mm. Yeah.
And he has created, he has, I mean, for what they, you know, and, you know, they don't look back on Trump's history trying to show how much of a great businessman he was. He has tons of, he filed bankruptcy, I don't know how many times.
Look, anybody who's in New Jersey or upstate New York know, or in New York period, know Trump was not some rich person. You know, because when he had those casinos, they you know, the city had to take it, the state had to take it over.
Right.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, they have to, right. They have to take over because of
all legitimate business through those businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, well,
they was investigating
Atlantic,
for all of that stuff.
Well,
he had more.
Yeah, Atlantic City had to take it over because they couldn't afford to let all that, you know, all that revenue and all the money and everything. And then keep in mind, you know, there was a lot of workers that did not get paid, contractors and everything. They couldn't
right.
afford that. I mean, they had to bail Atlantic City out, basically. You know, that's
right.
what it came down to, and take control of it. And he walked away squeaky clean, you know.
Yeah.
So,
but he would sue a bunch of, you know, like instead of paying them, he would sue. You know, I guess that's
mm-hmm.
his MO,
or,
to sue people, you know.
Well, that's the thing. If you remember, what was his name? Attorney Dixon, who was on, or Dickerson, who was on, the lawyer. He had said that's one thing about when you threaten to sue a company. You know, now the companies
mm-hmm.
are threatening to sue the little man, and you know the little man is not going to win. You know, in legal
mm-hmm.
matters. That's the same thing that Donald Trump did. He, you know, he turned around to sue them. Well, you're not going to, you don't have the money to out sue because he can keep the litigation going on forever while you're wasting your money waiting for it to come to trial.
Right.
So you
right.
end up just doing out of court or just dropping the whole case. In most mm. cases, that's what happens. You know, I remember a lady one time when I was at when I worked for Home Depot, a lady threatened the store manager. She said, "You'll hear from my lawyer. I'm going to sue you guys." He said, "Fine." Home Depot got 20 plus lawyers. You know, I mean, and he's right. What's one lawyer against a corporation that has 20 plus lawyers in most cases?
But you know what, Michael? Right. But I know I quit a job one time, and it was because my boss was trying to undermine me. Because it's a long story, but the vice president gave me the slip and said I could file for unemployment. But when I went to file, they denied me. I had to get my doctor and different people to sign paperwork and everything showing, you know, the reason why I needed to get that unemployment insurance. So when I went to appear before the judge, it was at least 15 corporate lawyers there. But the judge wouldn't even let them talk. He heard what I had to say, and he granted me my unemployment plus all the back pay. So sometimes those corporate lawyers really don't. I mean, I guess it depends on the judge.
Yeah,
it depends on the judge and the corporation. Because if the judge
right.
is here that corporation all the time, they sick of them. So I think I have probably 40,000 hours available to me of legal time because on the department, I was a member of the union, PBA, that I had to pay dues for, but I also paid my into prepaid legal every month, $30 every month. And all those hours have built up, and I'm still paying now. So if I ever need an attorney, I got a shitload of hours that they got to represent me for.
Right.
Mm.
And, you know, you wonder, how do you know, I mean, when you hire a lawyer and they charge you such and such an hour, how do I know you're working on my case during those hours? I mean, just a question, you know.
Well, they're supposed to show you when they bill you what they did.
Yeah.
And
how do I know that
when
brings
they bill
down
you,
the hour?
Right. They don't
want to bring
bill
down
you and say they break it out.
Okay. I don't know how that breaks down in hours, though. But it's an interesting thing.
Well,
but anyway, okay, since we're still – no, go ahead and we'll switch up. Go ahead.
I was going to say, if it takes – 20 minutes to print out the documents and then another 20 minutes to get it. They have to put all that down as far as that. So, and that includes they go to represent you in court. If it takes them 15 minutes to get from the court, from their office to the courthouse, that's a billable time.
That's right.
Okay. Wow. Well, since we're still talking about, the courts and everything, Supreme Court allows President Biden to end Trump's remain in Mexico policy for asylum seekers. That's kind of interesting that the Supreme Court went in favor of Biden, don't you think?
Right. I thought that was a good thing because those people had been over there being victimized, you know, not being able to come into the United States. So, I think if you process them and then put them someplace, that's different. But then you're just going to sit there and just let them stay on the other side until, you know, that was a deterrent, just like when they separated the children from the parents and then shipped the parents back, you know. So,
well,
I think
here's what's interesting. What's interesting, it says Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Kavanaugh joined liberals in a 5-4 decision, real tight, a 5-4 decision. It says the Supreme Court on Thursday said the Biden administration can end the Trump-era immigration policy known as Remain in Mexico. Well, that's pretty straightforward, right? that had forced thousands of asylum seekers to wait south of the border while their claims were adjudicated. The court ruled 5-4 with Chief Justice John Roberts and Justice Brett Kavanaugh joining the three liberal justices in the majority. Officially termed the Migrant Protection Protocols, or MPP, the policy was created in 2019 to send unauthorized immigrants, including asylum seekers, back to Mexico while their cases are processed in immigration court. Trump administration officials intended the policy to serve as a deterrent, as you just said, Janet, against flows of migrants along the southwest border. Human rights observers and immigrant advocacy organizations said the policy contravened international law, putting vulnerable people at risk of higher documented rates of kidnapping, extortion, and violence in the areas they were forced to wait. Well, that was a good thing, I have to say.
Yeah, because Biden wanted to end it last year, and they got shot down. So, you know, but then you got people constantly saying he's not doing anything at the border when he could have done something to, you know, keep the I felt like they probably could do a little bit more, but they were working on undoing a lot of the stuff that happened during the Trump administration, like trying to get those children back to the parents, you know, trying to locate them.
Okay, so, and I did anybody want to say anything else about this? No? Okay.
Well, you know, they did it. I think they did it thinking that it would bite Biden in the behind, because they did it the same day that truck was discovered. And I think they was trying to blame the deaths and all of that controversy on Biden and make him look bad Republicans' eyes because of the way that he's coming down on Trump so far.
Right. Well, also, you know, this whole thing about, you know, trying to blame Biden for everything, it's not going to work. I mean, it's just, I mean, you can't, you know, the pandemic and all these things are all, I mean, it all just happens. The main problem he's having is just getting everything done. And you can't filibuster anything because of Joe Manchin and Sinema. You know, you got to do some type of executive orders that you can. You know, but I don't care if Trump was in office; it's not gonna make him better. Now we find out how he lied about with Fauci, and he lied about the pandemic. You know, all these things. This man, I watch all this stuff just to make sure that this dude never comes back.
Right. And he also lied.
I don't want him around anymore. I mean, you just can't have these kind of people around. They're dangerous.
Anytime somebody lies saying that the election was stolen and you got these people in an uproar to the point they were wanting to kill, that's sad, because our democracy is still hanging by a thread.
Because
for you to keep saying that somebody is taking something from you, they didn't write amendments for white folks. White folks wrote amendments for black people just so we can have freedom. 13th Amendment, 14th Amendment, all these damn amendments. The only amendment they like is the First and the Second. They can care less about the rest of the amendments going on. The First and Second allow them to have a gun. The First and they can say whatever they want. That's it. Other than that, they don't care.
I managed to tap into a – wait a minute. I'm hearing a phone call. Now, you guys, I tapped into the phone line of the NAACP, and I believe that they're calling the White House. Hold on, you guys. Let's listen in. Hold on a minute.
Interest group. Chairman Dodge, please. Will you tell him that it's Mr. Joshua Benjamin from the NAACP on the line? No, ma'am, actually you'll be of a great deal of help. I have a few minor questions. I would like to know how many members of the chairman's committee are African Americans? None.
That's a good question.
Well, I'm sure you have a Latino member on the committee. No Latinos either.
Mm-hmm.
Does the chairman have any Asians or any Native Americans on the committee? No Asians and no natives. Does the chairman have any handicaps or gays on the committee? No gays. Well, you've been of a great deal of help. Just forget I even called. Just tell him I said hi. Okay.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll have to check on that phone line later on in the show. See if we get some more information from the NAACP. Okay. No Asians or gays, no African Americans on the committee. All right, so let me go to this other story though. This is that which we touched on. The truck that had over 50 people plus people in this truck says the driver of Texas migrant death truck did not know air conditioning was broken. The driver of the trailer truck in which at least 53 migrants died before being abandoned in San Antonio this week did not realize the vehicle's air conditioning system was broken, federal court documents said. The detail was contained in records explaining why investigators arrested a man with whom the driver exchanged text messages in what is believed to be the deadliest migrant smuggling episode on the U.S.-Mexican border. The alleged driver of the truck, Hermorio Zamorano Jr., 45, and his alleged correspondent, Christian Martinez, 28, are among four people charged in connection with the discovery of the bodies in an industrial area of southwest San Antonio on Monday night. Authorities allegedly spotted Zamorano hiding in brush near the truck, pretending to be a passenger. The resident of Pasadena, Texas, was arrested after officers recovered surveillance video of him driving the rig through an immigration checkpoint. How could you not know it's not working? Don't those trucks have, most of those trucks, they have like a refrigeration unit of some sort, right? And those things somewhat of a loud motor.
Right. But this was a clone truck. I didn't know that they had clone trucks out there. The license, everything, identical. The truck was cloned because when they ran the tag and stuff and went to where the owner was, he had his truck sitting there. Identical.
Okay. Yeah,
so,
I remember you telling me that it was cloned. It was exactly the same. But the question still remains: what this guy is saying, he didn't know that the air conditioning didn't work. Tractor trailers. I'm sure many of us have seen them. We've seen the refrigeration trucks. They, when those things are running, you can hear the refrigeration unit running. Am I wrong, Crenshaw?
I don't think it was a refrigeration truck.
When you're not paying attention to all that noise either. You know, I'm just saying
that when he had the torture, all I'm saying is this. When he got the truck, he has to get in and out of that truck. Those units are right there. I mean, I'm not saying it's a refrigerator truck, but still, and again, the trailer doesn't have a AC unit of its own. It's pretty much on the truck. They can adjust the cooling system that's inside of that trailer. And those units, you can hear them running. So how could he not know it wasn't running? I mean, before he even got caught or running from the law, when he went to pick up those folks, when he was driving them, you're going to tell me he had no clue that none of it was working?
I don't think he cared, knowing what cargo he was carrying. He was just trying to get him across the line.
Mm-hmm. I'm just reading what he said. He did not. He claims he did not know it was broken. I don't buy that. That's all I'm saying. How could you not know?
They were in that truck. They were so hot to just to touch their bodies. They were hot, weak, you know. To have 50, well, 50 died, was dead when they opened the truck. But three more died while in the hospital.
Right.
That's sad. Yeah.
He would say
that 40 men and 13 women died, and 11 were hospitalized for heat-related conditions.
Right.
They need to throw the book in that game.
Transport, and that's all he was thinking about, getting paid to make that transport.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it just goes to show you again how the people are still trying to get to the United States. And they, you know, they keep saying that, you know, you will not replace us. Oh, they want the immigrants here for this, so they'll vote Democrat. That's too much work. Those people are coming here because they can't make it in their own damn countries that we control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mexico is full of cartel. Okay, you don't know who's going to kill you in Mexico. Unless you live
in
Honduras and
Guatemala.
Yeah. You know. But dude, you're wondering, I mean, people wonder if people are coming over here. No different than your homeless problem you got here. America does not, you know, they've gotten to the point where it's real selfish. You know, the fact that four guys have more money than 250 million people is insane.
Yeah.
And my thing is, you can't spend, but yet we got poor folks that want to hold the pail for them. Everything is about money. While we destroy the world, our oceans are jacked up. Our beaches are jacked up. You know, our drinking water is being destroyed. We are, you know, we have climate change issues. We got viruses that people do not want to take a vaccine for. They're supposed to help your ass so the virus continues to spread. You know, we've had chickenpox,
right.
Now we've got monkeypox. You know, but everybody keep running around. And all they want, stay a consumer. To consume more crap. I spent my time the other day over in my trying to get rid of my little, what do you call it, the storage I got. I can't, that's $100 going out the window. I ain't seen that crap in years. And when I go on vacation, that puppy going to be gone. Someday I'm shredding and tossing. But that's what I'm just saying. We really don't, you know, for those people to come over and die like that, the same thing. We got the kids going doing mass shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, Biden's a bad president. I like to see anybody walk in and fix this shit. What are you going
to
do?
You know what, though, Tyler? Most of the time, I, throughout me going through 13 presidents, my mother told me a long time ago, whenever, I'm not trying to be funny, but whenever a Republican president got in office, she said, don't throw anything away. We're getting ready to have a depression, you know, because she was in that era. But then it wasn't a depression. They called it a recession. And so you got, when they're in office, the Republicans are in office, they don't care about the spending. They give all the tax breaks to the rich, you know, and then take away from people who are less fortunate. And then you take a Democrat, like when Obama got in office, the economy was tanking. But when he left, it was a surplus. Do you think it was a surplus when Trump left? Hell no. Excuse my French.
Well, I have to agree with Simon about how we are, we are not a country anymore that is a we don't produce anything. We are consumers.
No,
we're
we don't.
We're not producers. Mm-hmm. We're more consumers.
They sent it all
and,
over
and,
the
and I,
in different places.
Well, we've talked on this before, but that's the thing that gets me is that where when we became consumers, more so than producers, I mean, it's a thing where we don't want to do the jobs that other people, you know, are willing to do for less pay. That's always been the case for quite a long time. But how do you turn that around? You know, they were saying, well, we need to bring the jobs back to America. What jobs are coming back to America that people are going to be willing to work for such a low wage? And you look at companies now, and that's what gets me. Since the pandemic, all these companies are now, we'll start you off at $12 and $13 an hour, when they used to pay maybe 8 or 9. Hell, they could have been paying that before the pandemic. But now they really need people. You could have really paid people before the pandemic, truth be known. But then people don't want to go back to these jobs, even though you're offering more. That's another crazy thing.
Well, the incentive was to be able to give the corporations tax breaks so that they can come back to the United States. But the clothing industry, I mean, manufacturers used to be, I used to be proud to say, to get something that says, made in the USA. You can't hardly find anything nowadays that is made in the USA. It's Japan,
yeah, because
China.
They cut their deal and sent everything over. They wanted to turn us into consumers. So that's why you sent mm-hmm. everything overseas. It would get made cheaper, and they would mm-hmm. charge it to the consumer. We were a 40% production country. We are now probably 10% of stuff that gets made here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
So you want us to continue to buy and spend. You know, that's how you get past the mass shooting. Buy more crap. You know, it's amazing to do with build. What is he building? Storage.
Mm-hmm.
And those storages be full of what? Crap that you ain't seen in 5-6 years. and you pay him, and the bill steady going up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you got to check yourself and you become a minimalist. But you got to look at you start looking at all the different avenues of our society. We live in LA, so we got homeless, we got high gas, we got the pandemic, we got our oceans are being polluted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our kids are. You know, we found out here in LA that 20% of the teachers that teach in LAUSD are not qualified to teach.
Mm. Let me quickly chime in real quick. I got a hand wave, and I want to open up their mic. Bring It Boy has joined us in the chat room. Hello, Bring It Boy. Bring It Boy says, right, minimum wage went up, so did the burger combo. Not $5.99, went up to $10.99. Let's see, area code 205-475-478. Open up your mic. One second. There we go. Penwillen, welcome to the show. What's your name? And I already said where you're calling from. It seems like an Alabama number. Welcome to the show.
Yeah,
what's your name?
This is Gwen Tyler. Hey, this is Gwen Tyler.
Gwen, hey, Gwen.
Tuning in. Hey, how you doing? I was just tuning in.
Oh, okay. You waved your hand, so I thought you had a question or comment, so I went ahead and got you on the air here. Okay, so if you got something to say, let us know. Looks like
right.
Officer Crenshaw dropped for a moment, so I guess he'll be back. And Bring It Boy says, and they still make the order wrong. Yeah, that's true.
Oh, but hey, Mike.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that when they raise, like Target said, they're going to start paying $24 an hour, right? Target.
Mm-hmm.
All they're going to do is transfer that to the consumer. So the prices
exactly.
that you pay in Target are going to go up. That's how you pay to raise the minimum wage. Oh, you want more money? Guess what? You're going to pay more for that product. That's
well,
all the corporations
I can tell
are going
you,
to do.
Well, it's already in effect because I already see where I'm at. Ink. I've seen where ink cartridges have gone up $4 and $5, you guys. $4 and $5 in just one day. Rolled out the price changes, and I was like, really? And people are like, how much? But they got to have it, especially if you have a business. I know a woman who, she does the payroll for her employees, you know, herself. She has to have ink to print out the checks. She's got to have it. There was a pack of cookies in this store one day I used to get, 3 cookies for a dollar. I go in there 3 days later, they're $1.50. I'm like, you went up what the original price was in a matter of a day. So, Tommy, you're right. It gets passed on. But what can you do? Again, you said we're consumers. We got to have it, though. And we're going to buy it. Look at the cost of automobiles.
I mean, look, if a dude will pay $3,000 for a pair of Yeezys, okay, they're out there. Let me tell you, we're in trouble, Mike. We're in trouble because they're quoting Kanye. They're quoting, they're praising this boy because he's now a billionaire and he's this creative dude and all this stuff. And I'm like, really? Do you know that those shoes are made in sweatshops? That shoe is made for $1.25. But the people buying them don't know because they don't read. They don't want you reading. They want you to just buy. See the picture. It look good on you. Keep buying more crap that you don't need.
Dumb everybody down. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
why else
stuff
my nephew
that's
going to
wear out eventually.
For a pair of jeans that already got holes in them, Mike? Why would
right.
you buy a pair of jeans that got holes in them, Mike?
Or it looks like
they're
50 years old because they're so worn. Mm-hmm.
Hold on a minute.
I understand.
Got jeans with the ass blown out.
But see, now, from what I understood, I read this a while back, that old Levi's here in the United States are worth a lot of money in China. They love the old worn Levi's, and they sell for high dollar over there. Have you heard that?
Yeah, we talked about that on
the
show.
The old Levi Strauss are like, you know, it's a thing over there. The older
well,
the better.
I want something new looking. I don't want to buy something that looked like somebody needs to throw it in the trash.
But Jen, and that's the biggest con. It's no different than the pet rock. And I asked my nephew, why did you buy those things? Well, they're Shanja. So you bought, now you're a label whore. You're trying to fit in. You're buying because of a label. You're
mm-hmm.
buying, and they already, and the dude just said, yeah, cut some holes in the knees, show half the ass out, and they put them up there. And they bought them. But nobody said, oh, shit, man, why can't you just go ahead and do it. You remember, hey, Mike, you remember Flavor Flav?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You remember when Flavor Flav had the woman who was drunk and she ended up taking a dump on the steps? Everybody at my job ran home to go watch that. I said, where are you going, man? I said, man, we got to go home, man. Why were that? I said, you didn't hear?
Was that Bridget Nielsen, the actress?
I don't know who it was. I never went and watched it, but I didn't know that that was a thing to go watch a woman defecate on herself, and everybody went home and watched it, and they taped it. And I'm telling you, everybody's all shit. Everybody, you know, ain't nothing wrong with a little wretchedness every now and then. That ain't wretchedness. That's ignorance, and we're in trouble. And this
mm-hmm.
is why stuff is still going on. This is why you can't get nothing done. And it ain't going to matter what president you put in there. You just got to make sure you got your ducks in a row so you can make it. That's all I got to say.
You guys keep going for a minute. I'm going to step aside. I believe our guest has arrived. So let me go ahead and just confirm this. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Timing. If we're in trouble from that, we've been in trouble for a long time because when we would raid the hooches, where all the street girls were at, they would tell us that some of these prominent businessmen would pay them not to have sex, but to defecate or pee on them while they lay there.
That's right.
But Officer Crenshaw, I'm always asking. It's like with the drugs. How high are you trying to get? Okay, they go on to these ayahuascas. I don't know if you ever heard of ayahuasca, where they go into the woods and they, you know, they do all this puking and they do the shrooms and they doing a Molly and all this stuff. Talking about they getting closer to God. And I said, you paid somebody to do that? Yeah, we done, man. We done. And they proud of it. I'm like, what are you escaping from? Well, you understand, it has you go in. You mean to tell me just going in your room and being quiet and talking to God ain't good enough? You got to go and halfway lose your mind in order to get close to God? Come on, man.
And see,
I should have known that was the problem. His shaman's name was Danny. I think
wow.
I had a shaman named Danny, but hey, if that's what you call him, yeah. I'm just
No, I was just going to tell Janet. Y'all call
What's
me
that?
Nasty when I told the story about the one fly method. Listen to what Tommy is saying.
What they say you was nasty for what?
The one fly method. The military one fly.
One fly. What does that mean?
You take that one square of toilet paper where the next one, and you fold it in half, then you fold it in half again, and then the point of it, the tip, you rip that off. You take your crap, and you put your finger, your bird finger through the hole, you wipe your ass, and then you clean your finger with the tissue that's around your finger.
Hmm.
Do that crazy shit.
Yeah. Wow. That's made
the
that up.
One fly method. You either do that.
Oh my God! Well, that ain't gonna happen because you know the way people crap around here. And as sensitive as men are about their booty hole, they ain't gonna want nobody touching nothing. Touch your own booty? No, that ain't gonna happen. They don't want nobody. No, Crenshaw, that ain't gonna happen. I don't know how they got that one passed. Is that in the army?
They got it passed because they wouldn't give you any newspaper to rub together. And
wow.
If you were scared of leaves, thinking you might have had poison ivy or poison oak, you did the one-ply method to ration your food.
Is that in the Army?
Yep.
Wow.
I got somebody who was in the Army. I got to ask them about that.
Yeah, ask them about the one-ply
method. Well, I got a friend. I got a friend who chimed in. They text me, and when we were talking about Levi's, they said they used to work for Levi Strauss, and that product division was a serious initiative for Levi Strauss. And bring it, boy, when you posted here, says that the orange tag was worth more than the red tag of Levi's. And coming on what you said about Flavor Flav, Bring It Boy says, what time is it, Flavor Flav? Well, Flavor Flav didn't say what time is it. That was Morris Day. Okay, so Flavor Flav was known for going, yeah, boy. You know, that was Flavor Flav.
Who was saying what time is it? Mike, who was saying what time is it? Who was saying what time is it?
Bring It Boy put... Well, Bring It Boy put what time is it, and he put Flavor Flav, but no, what time is it was made popular by Morris Day and the Time.
Oh, right, right.
Flavor Flav would say, yeah, boy, all the time.
Right.
That's where that came from. Okay.
Right.
We got to make sure we get this right now. Okay, I don't want folks to text me. You got it wrong. But we're getting ready. It's almost the top of the hour, and our guest is going to be joining us. I do believe now I see them on the board. So let's close this one out. Again, like what Timon said, we are consumers. I see it every day. You just buy, 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 you know. And like you said, pack rats, you do see a lot of stores complexes going up everywhere. And then what gets me is these shows like Storage Wars, where somebody can bid your pack rat location for $100, and they'll start digging stuff out and say, oh, I'll get $50 for that. I'll get $25 for that. Oh, I'll clean this up and I'll get $75 for that. But you've been paying months and months to save this crap for somebody to get for little nothing and resell it. And what's the old term? Another man's junk, or one man's junk is another man's treasure.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the stuff.
Hey, Mike, is Cotton on the board?
I don't see her yet, but I'm waiting for her to show up. I did text her just a moment ago. But I do believe our guest is here. So what we're going to do in a second, we're going to take a quick music break, and we're going to come right back. And welcome to the show. This gentleman, he's just an awesome writer, producer, arranger. And coming up this month, him and the rest of his bandmates are going to be honored in Cincinnati, Ohio. And it's going to be an awesome event, I'm pretty sure. And it's well-deserved. And of course, you know, I mean, what can you say about Midnight Star? Hey, you're listening to the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia, on the TMGF, TMGN. So we'll be right back after this music break. Stay tuned.
Extra, extra, read all about it. I'm talking front page stories all over the world. It shook up men, women, boys, and girls. The headline said, if you want to be rich, then you better make sure that you got shirts. Oh, come on. Headache.
We'll be right back.
welcome back to the TMGS. It's the Michael Gaze Show. And that's it. Ooh, there we go. With Midas Touch and one of their many hit singles. I thought that was our guest here, and I guess they'll be popping a spin, so when they do get here, we'll definitely be starting our conversation. Opening up all the mics again so that we can continue this conversation. When Timon was talking about consumers, okay, I want to ask you something about in California. I was talking to someone about what that moratorium has ended as far as renters or folks, you know, who are staying in the homes, you know, in the pandemic. But now they're putting people out. Is that correct? They're making people leave from these homes that they're renting. Have you heard anything about that? That went into effect, I think, yesterday? Timon? Okay, I opened up his mic. Maybe he stepped away for a moment. Has anyone heard about that or where now that a lot of these states are lifting the moratorium and telling folks, oh, time to go?
Well,
didn't
Georgia
on the street.
Do that already?
Georgia did
didn't
it, but Georgia, California. Yeah.
Yeah, but
I
think Georgia had already done it because a lot of people that were renting apartments or renting homes, they were given the landlords and the homeowners permission to go and do eviction notices, eviction warrants.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But, you know, California has one of the largest homeless problems in the nation. And now, I think I heard something like 4,000 people almost a day are becoming homeless.
Wow.
I mean,
they have to be careful or else they're going to fall like Atlanta did. You know, Atlanta did a sweep of the homeless downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And turned out one of the guys they end up locking up was a lawyer just down on his luck. He turned around and sued Atlanta.
And what? Do you recall what the lawsuit was? I mean, as far as monetary wise, that he won?
No, I can't remember, but I know what they were doing was sweeping up the homeless, locking them up for hanging out in the parks and all that because, you know, they wanted Buckhead to look good. And
right.
He filed a lawsuit on behalf of all the people that was arrested that night with him. And they won because they had no probable cause to arrest them. There was no signs or anything posted basically stating no trespassing, no loitering, nothing to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he ended up winning. So if they don't start messing with the home, they better find out who they are first.
You know, it gets me when I look here in Atlanta and I look at all the shopping plazas and, you know, you see where a whole shopping plaza will shut down and a new one will be built just like 4 or 5 blocks away. And then that old building becomes an eyesore, you know what I mean? It's just there. And it'll sit there for ages, just for ages. I wonder how come they can't try to do something with them as far as not necessarily residencies, but some kind of help for it? I still don't understand why they can't come up a way of, with all the food that is constantly being thrown away from restaurants to grocery stores, that they can't come up with a way to allow these people to get this food as long as they sign a waiver that they can't sue, you know what I mean?
But a lot of those stores nowadays, though, Michael, they take that food and they give it to these places that give food out to people.
To the farmers. Well, there's some places that, well, they'll take
churches.
Some of the bad food, okay? Well, a lot of grocery stores will take certain foods, you know, like certain vegetables and everything that is bad,
and they give it back to the farmers to feed the pigs or, you know, the hogs and stuff like that. But I don't know of many of them that give much of it to, you know, like you're about to say, like churches and stuff.
Yeah, they have, you know, different ones, especially here in Georgia. There's a Catholic one down the street from me, a Timothy Covert from the Lutheran Church, where they get money, they get food from Publix and Walmart and Kroger and different places, and they also get food from the government, and it depends on what your income is. That's the bag, that's the package you get, but you can get 4 or 5 boxes of food, enough to last you almost a month.
Okay.
Free.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, because that's what Cotton and her friend, Lady Justice, they be doing, right? Giving food to the homeless.
I mean, I know they feed, but I know they do that. I don't know where their source is from and where they get the food from, but I do know they do that. I am aware of that. A Bring It Boy says some state government said or governor said renters excused from paying rent during pandemic. California extended theirs. But it didn't mean that eventually rent would have to be paid when it was over. Right. Yeah, you know, once it's over with, then you're going to have to pay rent. Now, you have to pay the back rent or pick up where, you know, once it ends, and now you start paying, you know, how does that work, I wonder? And I guess it varies from state to state.
It varies from state to state. But some of them, they give up. Yeah. You can make arrangements to be able to pay that back by adding to your regular payment. I don't think they want it all in a lump sum.
Yeah, but if you were stressing trying to pay the regular payment, imagine having to throw an extra $50-$100 on top of it. And that's one thing that always tripped me out is when some renters or some folks who rent places, a home that I used to rent, my rent would go up like $50 every year. Well, I didn't get a $50 raise this year or last year. And the cost of everything is going up. It doesn't equal out. You understand what I'm saying? It don't pan out.
I think they were doing that. If you were renting from an apartment or, a business, I think they were allowing you not to have to pay that money back because of the pandemic. But if you were renting from like an individual homeowner, that would have been up to him because he was losing money.
Okay. I just want to shout out real quick our guests. I'm not sure if they're here on the board or not, but if you're here on the board, please hit the number 1 on your phone so we can open up your mic. I thought it was this 818, but I went over and see if they would respond, and no one said anything. But if the guest is on the board, please hit the number 1 so I can see you waving and I can open up your mic. But, okay.
Mike.
Go ahead, Crenshaw.
I'm gonna drop for a minute, but I'm going to come back. I got Ralph in Savannah having problems with his heating and air unit. He's calling me. So I'm going to come back, though.
Okay, then. All right. Thank you.
I'll be right back. All right.
Oh, perfect. I wonder if Timon is back. Timon, are you here? Timon? Okay, he's still on the board.
Yeah, I'm here, but I'm in a bad spot because I'm getting ready to get help. Hey.
Hello. You startled me. Yeah.
I'm about to get in my car, so.
Okay. Right, I understand. But quickly, before you head out, though, is there something with the moratorium on the folks that are renting and they're having to be or getting eviction notices now to move out of the places now that I believe it ended yesterday. Am I correct? Where now the landlords can actually evict folks who weren't paying rent?
Yes, because they're doing that right now. They just raised my rent. My rent just went up to $1,485 from $1,350. And also we pay a $40 thing that goes along every year. They charge you every year for it. So it doesn't even matter, man. They're raking the consumer again.
Mm-hmm.
And
they have a moratorium here. You know, they have a moratorium for California, and where California, they're trying to stop them from raising the rent on these people, because these people cannot make it, man. They cannot make it. These guys, you know, but the thing is, there are jobs out there. But what kind of job are you going to get? You know, they just got jobs. Yes. But, you know,
you have to work two or three jobs in order to make ends meet, that's defeating
right.
the purpose, because
exactly.
you end up making yourself sick.
Right. I mean, you know, it's you know, what's the situation for you? You know, and a lot of, and also to make it in California. I mean, I was really pissed today because I just, you know, when I see the homeless and I see, you know, you've got this situation going on, I was like, we didn't create this. This was politicians and corporations who created this mess. And all because they kept getting greedy and they didn't want to share. And they were all about worried about, oh, we're going to end up a socialist country. No, fool, we're just trying to make sure that everybody can eat, that everybody has a roof over their head. And all this
individualism,
I mean, you can't keep it up, man. And that's why we have the message that we do. Now everybody from California is moving to the South. But guess what? The South prices are going to eventually go up, too.
Right.
Well, that's,
you know,
what they have been doing. They definitely have been going up here in the South. But, hey, you guys, fortunately, our guest is here. He is on the board. So, you guys, we have to switch gears. Thank you for the conversation in our first hour of the topics that we went over. So, please, welcome to the show, you guys, this awesome writer, producer, singer, arranger. I mean, wears many hats. Welcome to the show, Mr. Reggie Calloway. Come on, y'all.
What's up? What's everybody doing? Good to see you.
Yes. Yes.
That's it, Brad. Good to jump in.
Okay. Okay, Brad. Okay. That's good. That's good, guys. That's good. All right, man. I said that's good. Okay, I said that is good. That's good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Sorry, Rich. Thank you, guys. All right. Welcome to the show, Mr. Calloway, and happy holiday weekend to you.
Happy holiday weekend to you and all the listeners out there. It's nice to talk to you today, getting ready to get all the way into holiday gear and then keep it back.
Okay.
If that's right.
I know that's right. I know that's right. Well, man, it's been about a year since you joined us. And when I looked at it, I said, wow, that was about a year ago when you last joined us here on the show. And I know you've been really busy, but the real excitement is what's coming up for you guys later on this month for Midnight Star, for all the great music that you brought us over the years. And, you know, I was there from the beginning, from the journey. I remember seeing the first album by Midnight Star. I think it was the all-white cover you guys had on All White. And I was like, I saw that Solar Records one day early in the, you know, way back then. And I asked them, I said, who's that? They said, oh, you just wait. You'll see. And they were right. They were right. I was like, wow. But coming up this month, you guys are about to be honored in your hometown of Cincinnati, Ohio, on the Black Music Walk of Fame. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. You know, the old saying, if you can make it in your hometown, you can make it anywhere. So our hometown has been so great to us, as well as our hometown in Louisville, Kentucky as well. We'll be going through there the following week for more festivities. But in Cincinnati, I want to thank Commissioner Alicia Reese, who brainchild this Walk of Fame to honor, you know, so many great talents that have from Cincinnati or have been through Cincinnati. And this is the second year of honoring. The first year they honored Bootsy Collins and the Osley Brothers and a few others. And this year we are in the second round of inductees. And it's just going to be a great, great time along with our sales Midnight Star. Wilbert Longmire, who's one of the architects of music in Cincinnati. In fact, he produced our very first single, the Calloway Brothers, and our group Sunchild. Penny Ford, mm-hmm. who used to come by our watch us practice, who went on to work with Chaka Khan and other great artists in a solo career. Also, she sang with Climax, but most importantly, she's got the power. She's the one who brought that big voice.
Right.
Checkers, who's a great hip-hop producer who's worked with a lot of great artists. So our hometown is just busting over. So every year there'll be more inductees. But this year the stars go on the ground right in front of the stadium on the riverbanks, the same riverbanks where the slaves escaped from over the border of the Ohio River to find some in Cincinnati. So that's all being celebrated on July 23rd from 12 to 3 o'clock as we get our star in the ground.
Fantastic, man. Well deserved. Very much well deserved. You mentioned Penny Ford. Yeah, we were fortunate to have Penny on a couple of times here, and she's over in, I believe, Germany. I don't know what time of day it is over there now, but she's over in Germany, and I know that she comes home every Christmas and visits her home. Ohio in general has produced so many fantastic artists, just so many, and a lot of folks don't realize that. You just named quite a few, of course, Ohio Players, Lakeside came out of there, Howard Hewitt. What artists do you know of today that have come out of Ohio that are new that you feel like, okay, they may be the next big thing for Ohio to brag about, or Cincinnati or Cleveland, either way. So what artists have you heard that you are like, this is a hometown, guy or girl? I see them being the next big thing.
Yeah, the apple falls close to the tree in that our young brother, Aaron Ray, went to high school with his mother and father, because we all grew up doing music, and they were like my little brothers and sisters. So even though their mother has the last name Calloway, we're not related, but they're all family. Hmm. So look at Aaron Ray, a vocalist coming out of Cincinnati. He's moving up, stepping up. You have to be willing to hang in there. The album that you mentioned, the White Album, that was actually our second album. The first album was called The Beginning. It was more of a
right
with a spaceship on it. We wanted to be like Earth, Wind, and Fire. We had the same artist that drew the great Earth, Wind, and Fire albums illustrate our first album. So, well, actually, when you open it up, we had all the white. So that was kind of the flavor. So, my big point was that we didn't get a hit to our fourth album. So anywhere up in there, you can either get dropped off the label or you can quit, break up, whatever. And, right before you reach your goal, you've given up. And luckily for us, we had to great believers in Dick Griffey, who stuck with us album after album because he knew what he had. It wasn't a mystery to him. It wasn't a surprise. Like you say, some people were surprised and don't know. He was in the building stage of not only doing his record label, going through different distributors and different turmoil that also can affect an artist's career, but also just developing our sound and, waiting till we found that perfect match between what we brought to the music and what the music brought to us and how to reach the people. And that was the No Parking on the Dance Floor album, the fourth album that finally knocked all the doors down, as they say.
Right. Oh, man. I ran across this mix, which, by the way, you guys, at the end of our conversation with Reggie, I extended the time on the show, so I'm going to give you guys a long mix of some of these hidden gems. That's one of Karen White's terms, but these hidden gems by Midnight Star. I'm sure many of you who are real Midnight Star fans have heard these cats or these tracks, and they're just awesome. And I went back and I was listening to them. Reggie, I said, "Oh wow, I forgot about that one. That was the jam." You know what I'm saying? When you go back and listen to the album cut, you're like,
you know, because, you know, you used to play a whole album. Now folks just, you know, put out one cut here and one cut there. But when the whole album was where you did it, and you would actually flip it on the other side, okay? But people don't do that anymore. They just go for that one cut, you know? And that's what I miss. You got your money's worth. But I was listening to some cuts that you guys did, and I was like, man, that whole album and that whole album and that whole album was just continuous of some great music. But then when we had you on the last time, we listened to some of your solo material, and I came across one of yours, and I was like, oh, I got to play this. But if you don't mind, I want to go ahead and play your latest release, Sabrina. I love the video. I love the track.
Thank you.
And can you share again how this song, I should say, came about?
After leaving Midnight Star, I always wanted to do a solo record, and I always wanted to do it in a love fashion and bring about that softer side. And one of my favorite artists, of course, is Sade. So I talked about some of the beats that Sade used and the rhythms and the African feeling and the Latin rhythms that all go into that. And I wrote a groove like that. And then looking at the title, you know, I went through many different names. And the name that rang the truest was Sabrina. We had just married to the music. And at the time, that was my wife as well. So
okay.
What a great
good choice.
What
good
a great
choice.
Tribute. Yeah, I did all right. But
good
she always
choice.
Said, it's not about me. I said, it's about you, but it's a romantic fantasy. The facts are changed. In other words, Sabrina is about an African princess that falls in love with a balladeer singer who's passing through. And, of course, he has to leave and go back on the road because he's swinging, you know, throughout different ports, different oceans and that type of thing.
Right.
And, you know, and they in the video, they reunite by chance at a convention, a world international convention. So it was really like this cross-continental international romantic fantasy created through the music and the vibe of when you listen to it. The goal is to transport you there and put you in that space.
All right. Well, let's get to it, you guys. Here's Reggie Calloway with Sabrina.
Overflowing everywhere, for the ocean wash away the tears, and the sand will hide the pain.
Broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia, with our special guest, Mr. Reggie Calloway, writer, producer, ranger, and just an awesome individual. Man, I love that track, man. I love that track. It is, and who is that on the horns?
That is Scott Nail. And Scott at one time played in the Earth, Wind, and Fire horn section. Just an incredible talent. And his son is doing music. His former wife sung background from Luther Vandross. So what a musical family.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Awesome track. Awesome track. And by the way, I've started listening to some other tracks of yours. There's one I knew of I'm going to play. And then there's another one I wasn't aware of. And I'm going to play that too, because that when I heard that one, well, both of them I heard once before. Well, one of them I heard once before, and this one I had never heard, and I've been playing it ever since. I'm like, wow, I never knew about this. But let me see if Janet Davis, my co-host, is here. Janet, you have a question or comment for Reggie? Janet, you there? Okay. Let me bring Officer Crenshaw back in the mix. How you doing, Officer Crenshaw? I see you're back. Okay, there's Janet.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I was on mute. So.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, that you have written so many songs for all these different artists, and each one is like all these hits. You know, I just want to say you certainly have the Midas touch when it comes to writing and producing movies and, I mean, the songs and movies and songs for the different artists and just for yourself, you know. And I, too, am a fan of Sabrina when it came out last year, and I thought it was awesome.
Well, thank you, Janet. I appreciate that very much. You know, I really love songwriting, and it's definitely a gift because, you know, we sit and the ideas come and then we have to translate them. So they're coming from somewhere much higher place than our own mind. And then we have to use our little feeble mind to translate it to where people can hear it and understand it. So that's the craft that we work at with the gift is from God. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
It truly is a gift, yeah, because, I mean, you know, when I listen to, as I said, I was listening to your tracks and I'm listening to the quality of the music and then the storytelling. You don't get many stories in songs anymore like you used to. You know what I mean? It was a story. Now it's just stuff. Okay, I don't want to say the wrong words. It's just stuff. It's just something to play and repeat the same, you know, crap over and over again. But there's no structure, I guess, to a story in the song. Maybe I'm getting too old, but that's not what I'm getting out of a lot of the music.
Each generation has its own little, what we might call rock and roll, where they break down barriers and the parents are like, oh, what is that? What are you doing? but you took me right. I think you have to be conscious about the fact of telling a story. And that's not always the goal. But when you make that the goal, when I try to, you know, inspire people about songwriting, share ideas, mm-hmm. I have a new book now around the art of songwriting that will hopefully, you know, touch on those that do want to go deeper. You know, I came from, you know, born in 55, so, you know, it was the great music of the Beatles and they were borrowing from everybody else, so it was before them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Even, you know, all the Little Richard songs and all that, everything, you know, even though it was funny or loose, but, you know, it had a story or a hook. And then the form and structure mm-hmm. is really cool because, like you say, if you just stuck on A the whole time and never get to B, never get to C, you're not stretching out. And when I say those, I mean like sections, you know, a bridge that takes you to a different part of the song and then reconnects you back to where you came from. You know, a lot of songs today, there are no bridges, you know, there are no bass lines either. We fall in love with a bass line.
Right.
That could be the story. Yeah. But I feel you. So that the idea is to how to always blend the historical value with the future and the present to see, you know, if you can carry on some of the legacies of what makes it what it is. But as you say, when the song is strong, with a strong lyric and a strong melody, all you have to hear is just a part of it, and you know where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Exactly. That is so true. That is so true. You know, there's certain songs that where, well, just saying what you just said, there's certain songs where just a certain verse of that song can hit you and you're like, oh, wow, that did it. You know, that's me. That tells, you know, a lot about me and a story about me or whatever. It's part of you, you know. Or you can
right.
relate to the story. But like I said, a lot of these songs don't have it. But I want to go ahead and play this track here because I know I've heard it, you know, before. Because when I pulled it up, I was like, oh, yeah, I've heard this track before. And I was like, yep, this is one of your solos, cuts. And I have to play it, though, today. And, again, I said I have to play another track of yours. But this one called Bring Back the Love, man. Bring back the love of good music. Yes, thank you, thank you. You could have put in good music, too. But bring back the love, man. This is nice, too. This is really nice.
Thank you.
That's what I'm talking about. Let us know how did this song come about. I'm going to ask you, you know, I'm not trying to steal your secret, but just give us a little sample of what is the thought process when you write these songs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what you shared about what happened when you wrote Meeting in the Ladies' Room and you know, and those songs.
Joy.
Of course, you wrote Casanova for LaVert. You wrote mm-hmm. Joy for Teddy Pendergrass. You know, just give us a little idea of what the thought process is or the experience that you see. I already know about Meeting in the Ladies' Room, but this one here, Bring Back the Love.
Yes, I was on the journey of recording the solo album and writing several songs and going through ideas. And sometimes a song comes from the concept first. Sometimes it can be inspired by the music, and then you find the concept, which kind of as I can explain it with Sabrina, it was really a groove first, and then I found it. Bring Back the Love was just a musical hook, so to speak. And it's reminiscent of a lot of songs that you heard before. So when you hear it, you think you heard it before. And the once you get into it, you realize you're going down a story. But Todd and I were, I was making my move to Los Angeles from Cincinnati. And so I rented a room with Todd for a while. And he had played on some of our previous albums as a keyboard player. So it was natural that we would attempt to write one together. And, you know, we get in a humble part of the time to play it, and that particular hook, it's like, okay, what am I going to say? And exactly what you just said in terms of trying to bring music back to life and bringing love back to life, you know, taking time out to really appreciate those things. Once I land on Bring Back the Love, Bring Back the Passion, then the story began to itself. And it's always... you know, sometimes it's a breakup story where you're trying to get back together, which Brings Back the Love definitely is that kind of a song. You know, so how can we get back to just loving each other? You know, why do we have to fight, or why do we have to be adversaries? You know, let's share this dream, let's share this joy, let's share this love, let's bring it back not only for ourselves but for the world. And it starts to get bigger and bigger. It's like you're like, why are we always at war in different countries? You know, where is the general passion of love that, you know, brought us all here? Can we make that first and everything else second? So you talk through stories, and the initial first level of the story is very direct, but when you stretch it out, the double entendres and triple entendres begin to take on broader meanings. Yeah, so can we bring back the good dancing, the good music, the good food, the good romance? Can we do all that? Can we bring back the love?
Exactly. Wow. Hey, you know, without further ado, I want to get into this cut. You guys, you have to check this out. This is, I love this. And I got another one coming up that you guys are going to be in awe and in wow. And just stay tuned. I see that, Cotton, is here in the house. We're going to open up her mic when we come right back. Here's Reggie Calloway with Bring Back the Love. We all need to do it in every aspect possible.
Yeah.
TMGS, that's Reggie Calloway with Bring Back the Love. Oh, now, I know you all love that. I know, Janet, I know you love that. Well, she's on mute. That's
thanks,
right.
My brother. You got anyone who hasn't seen the video, the video was
yeah.
cut in St. Martin, on the beaches of St. Martin, and all mm-hmm. recorded with a little handy camera.
I've seen the video.
Okay.
Yeah, I've seen the video. That's St. Martin where the plane almost lands on your head if you're at the beach, right? When it comes in the land,
right,
all the people standing there. That's St. Martin. Yeah, I got a friend from there. She lives here. And her mom comes to visit every summer, but she hates the winters here, but she'll never come here in the winter. But, man, I love that track. I notice what you do also. You have fun with the music. I notice a little bit of like little you know, little scatting there.
Little scatting in there. Yeah, I have definitely strong jazz roots as a trumpet player, a flute player, but also just growing up, you know, my father exposed us to Miles Davis and all the great jazz mm-hmm. things. And my mother and father, when I was an infant, they took me, they couldn't leave me at home, so they had to take me with them to go see Cab Calloway and all the great jazz players live in concert, so it stuck with me.
Wow. Well, you were exposed to all those greats. Okay, fantastic.
Yeah,
well, I see
bit, yeah.
that our sister who, thanks to her, she managed to put this conversation together. So you guys, please welcome to the show, Cotton K.C. Kembo. What's up, Cotton?
Hey, everybody.
Hi, Cotton. Hey, Cotton.
How are you?
I can't wait to get to Atlanta and see everybody. So it's coming this summer.
Oh, yeah,
okay.
I'm coming down for that. I'm definitely coming down for that. I cannot wait. I love that track, by the way. That track was absolutely, I like to see it. You know, we need to bring back some love everywhere.
Love.
I need all of that. Yes, man, I'm ready to two-step
two
and
one.
Everything to that one. Yes, there we go,
mm-hmm.
two-stepping right to that.
A little stepping action.
Yes.
Okay, so you said coming to Atlanta. When should we expect you here in Atlanta? If you could share that information.
Yes.
I haven't set a date yet, but this first time, it probably won't be to perform. I'll just come there and check in with everybody and plant the seeds and talk about
okay.
But a different aspects of the music industry with financing, you know, my new finance company, mm-hmm. found royalties, supplying royalty advances for artists, any artist that's receiving a royalty. You know, we look at how we can make them an advance so they can build their career and put the music
mm-hmm.
out as well as promote it. So, and then I'm definitely looking at the winery for the first performance of the Calloway Brothers. So we'll be setting that up. We have some really serious prizes coming up for you guys for the next year or so. And I'll drop this one out there because sometimes it needs to grow, but can you imagine the Calloway Brothers and Atlantic Star?
Oh wow!
Yeah, they doing all their ballads. We doing all the dance and funk and our ballads. A little slow jam with Secret Lovers.
Right,
that's
right.
Gonna be a night. That's gonna be a night right there.
Oh man,
wow.
That would be awesome.
Two
you know,
favorite,
I love seeing. Yeah, you know, I love when a promoter knows what they're doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I say
yeah.
that because I've been to many shows, and sometimes there's been somewhere it's like, no, that doesn't work. But you already said that, hey, look, here's the funk over here and the dance, and here's the slow jams and the balladeers, you know, and everything. And, you know, I love a good, well-planned show. Well-planned.
Yeah, the Lewis Brothers and Calloway Brothers are going to form me a Midnight Star. It's a family-friendly show, but with so much depth. I love it.
Fantastic. How is Vincent, though? I saw the video that you guys shared about you guys being on the Walk of Fame. How's Vincent doing? I'm sure he's just as busy as you are, and you guys are going to all be together. Right. And the Walk of Fame is going to take place this month on, is it the 22nd?
The 23rd.
23rd, okay.
Go up to 3 o'clock down on the river.
Okay.
And
so all you folks in Cincinnati and all you folks in Cleveland. Okay, so all you folks in Cincinnati and you folks in Cleveland, you can drive on over to Cincinnati, okay? Come on now. All right. I know you all have your things. Right. You know, all of Ohio, come on over and support, you know, the one and only Midnight Star. And just the talent that everybody has, because I was looking at work, you know, there's other members who have been involved in other artists and assisted in writing and producing for other folks. So this whole nucleus, this whole band, this whole group has reached out in various directions individually, you know, and of course, you know, together, collectively. But you guys are just one of the most talented groups overall. You know what I mean? You have some groups, and I'm not trying to down any groups, where this one person just knows how to do this one thing, but all of you are so talented in what you do.
Man,
I want to play this. Huh?
I was just saying that was part of design. You know, putting the group together, that was part of design, was to, you know, have a variety of talents and within inside each member and a commitment to a work ethic. You know, those things are so important. And, you know, like-minded and, you know, being able to make that sacrifice, okay, we quit in college. We're going to go make it. So,
you all got to be on one accord, right?
Yes.
Wow. That's amazing. That's truly amazing. You know, when I was listening to a lot of your tracks and everything, I came across this one. I have to play this one because of what's going on in this world. I'm sure you see it. We all see it. We're all experiencing it, you know, not just here in the United States. You know, for me, I don't just think about what's happening here at home. I think about what's happening abroad, too, because it does affect what's at home, right? That's just my opinion. But I love this song that you recorded, and this is, of course, you as a solo artist, and from what I understand, when you were, you know, sharing some of your gospel, or your spirituals, and this one here, God is the Source. Man, that speaks on so many levels, man. Yeah, that speaks on so many levels, though, man. That's just straight out. God is the Source, period. Am I right?
Period. That's what I was telling you about, the creativity and the gift and just the way everything, the way it goes back to the way the trees grow, what holds the earth in place. You know, the people talk about such things. My God is, he does all, he and she does all those things. So,
wow.
It's pretty expansive. So it's limitless. And that mentality, you know, keeps you confident. You know, people who have no spiritual recourse, then they're left to their own devices. You know, they become lonely because they feel like they're all a spiritual source, then you know you're never in control, but you're always under the control of a guiding force that has your best interest in heart and will never leave you lonely.
I like when you said that the way the trees grow. When you said the way the trees grow, it made me think, and you think about how many species of trees, okay? Which tree are you talking about? You know what I'm saying? Just
flowers,
you know,
yeah,
and
right.
It goes back to the song. Well, God is the source, you know. That's deep. That's really deep. Let's get into this track, and then we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about it. And I know that Cotton has more she wants to say, but you guys, if you haven't heard this, well, you're going to hear it now. Here's Reggie Calloway with God is the Source. You're tuning into the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show on the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network, home of the TMGS, and let's talk about it with your host, Cotton Campbell, and the ladies of the TMGN. You know, I like that, Cotton. We'll be right back. Wow, it took me a minute to take myself off pause. That's Reggie Calloway with God is the Source. Man, that's powerful, my brother. That is truly powerful. Mm-hmm. I really, really like that, man.
I was listening to it, you guys, it was the first time I ever heard it. It blew my mind because everything I was speaking on before the song started, I wasn't thinking about how I wove it into the lyrics, but I guess you guys got it. You know, when I talked about the flowers and the sparrows and the eternal aspects. So that's when you talk about writing, you know, that's what I usually do. I think about the story, and then the gospel things. It's so easy to find, you know, one line in the Bible. Like a preacher finds one line, he can do a whole sermon off that one line. That's what we try to do with a song, just capture everything, refer it back, you know, to that concept. I used to ask my mother, why does the preacher keep saying the same thing over and over again? He said, son, because some people don't get it as fast. They need to hear it more times. So you keep driving
Amen.
With different stories.
God is the source of my supply. But that's heavy, the source of my supply, right? That's the line, correct? And,
yeah, I always say that after the Bible.
No. That's fact, because the thing is, I always say, you know, we come here with nothing and we leave here with nothing. And everything that's here, he's made it for us, you know, everything. You know, that's amazing. The clothes we wear, the houses that we live in, all the materials that we take for granted every day, it was here on the planet that he created. And we take it for granted. That's so amazing. Heavy song. Hey, Cotton Campbell, I know you're still here.
Of course I am.
Okay.
Of course
what's
I'm
your
here.
Take on that?
On which,
what's your take
on what
on
part?
on the song, on that song there. That's
the song was great. I mean, this is Reggie Calloway. I don't know. Have you ever done a bad song and let people hear it and be like, y'all like this?
I don't think so.
I was going to say, I don't think so.
Yeah.
They were bad ones, but there's always things that fix. Like when I listened to our first early albums, it taught me to listen because I'm always fixing it. You know, because you learn things like, oh, I really should have did this, or really this was that, and maybe it should have went there. So I'm always the production.
You got to critique it, right?
And we wouldn't change the thing, you know, and that's when it's when you really feel comfortable. Like with Casanova, I wouldn't change a thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's still a classic, and I hear it still
it
all
is.
The time. But I'm sorry, but go ahead, Gordon.
I still play it. I still play all of that. Like, you know, when I saw that they were doing something, I was like, oh my God! I still listen to Midnight Star. I'm still listening to Atlantic Star. When you said that, I was like, yeah, I'm right there. Secret Lovers. I can't wait because I'm coming. I told Michael. I said I got to get on the plane. Just let me know a month in advance. I'm on my way.
I let the promoters know. We got the Cotton approval and the Sandy approval.
Yeah. Let them know. You know, Cotton Campbell, TMGN. We in there.
Yeah, man.
There you go.
Right. I want to say this real quick, Reggie. Your voice is just so smooth. I love the smoothness of your voice. It's beautiful.
Might as well.
Oh, well, that really touches me. You know, not many people know that I started out, you know, my first talent show in the fifth grade. And I said, this is the life for me. And then in the sixth grade, I didn't make the All City Boys Choir. So I stopped singing. And I didn't start really singing again until many, many, many years later. But what it did do for me, it allowed me to play the trumpet. And in playing the trumpet, I learned how to arrange music and write music and read music and how to, you know, put bands together and create everything that a singer needs. Because a lot of singers, they're out there on their own. You know, they don't know, they don't know how to produce and they don't know how to write songs. So it was God, once again, just guided me down a path, you know, to humble me.
Right.
And, then I had just, there was a couple of people in my life that said, Reggie, you should sing. And I tell you, that really is powerful if you listen to those soft, silent voices that urge you on. So thank you for that compliment, because that reassures me going forward. So that's what we'd be doing.
Well, I'll tell you, I was I was listening to it with when I was listening to it earlier today. I actually closed my eyes and I was just envisioning this choir doing that whole thing. You know, the sopranos or the altos. You know, you can put a vision in your head. And I'm like, oh yeah, I can see this on a stage. You know. And just hearing that.
And that was
but,
on purpose too, Michael.
that's awesome, man.
Contrapuntal where the voices are balancing each other and complimenting each other. But thank you for noticing that.
Well, yeah, man. Trust me, I love music, okay? Like yourself, I was a musician. I played drums. I played in junior high, high school, played in bands and everything. And I just listen for the littlest thing, you know, in the background. Like you mentioned Earth, Wind, and Fire, you know, they would put a certain instrument in there and they'd have it buried so deep, most folks probably wouldn't catch it. And I'm like, wait a minute, I hear something in there. And I just play it over and over again, like, okay, that's what it is, you know. They put a bassoon in there, they put a piccolo in there or whatever, just some of the instruments you don't even hear in music anymore, unfortunately. There's so many instruments out there you don't hear anymore. But I see that Officer Crenshaw is back. I was wondering if he had a question or comment. And Reggie, we don't want to hold you all night long, but we could, you know, and just keep getting this great information and education about music and everything. So, Officer Crenshaw, you have a question or comment?
I've fallen okay. And I can't get up.
Uh-oh.
Well, I hope you got your life alert on.
My neighbors think I was being attacked by bees because I was out there in the front yard. I was doing it. I was going at it. 59 years old, still could move. He made me remember what I felt back when I was a long time ago. That's good. Don't stop. Don't stop. I mean, don't stop. Because if you can get me up, I'm light bright. Some people think I'm light. If you can get me up, I was answered. I was
well,
out
okay. We got something for you. We're keeping it coming.
Yeah, hey, please.
Fantastic.
Please.
And, you know, I like the fact when you said that you stopped singing and then you went and you picked up the horn and you started learning how to write music. I'm sure you've heard of David Crawford, right?
Yeah.
He writes a lot of, you know, well, I've known the Crawford family for many years. And it's so funny that his two brothers and his sisters went into acting, right? Jan and Ed and their sister. And David went into music. Which is kind of interesting because in a lot of cases, everybody follows the other siblings' footsteps. He just changed total direction. And he's the eldest, I guess. And he just got stuck into the music thing, and he's very successful, of course, you know. That's a great story that you stopped singing, but you didn't stop doing your music. And thank God you did pick up a horn because we probably wouldn't know nothing about you today. Is that correct?
Well, that horn got me through college. That's how I finally got a scholarship to college and then was able to put Bit My Star together in college. So, yeah, without that horn, you know, there wouldn't be a Bit My Star because that was all predestined as well. You know, I after going on the road with my band in high school, I left high school early to go on the road, giving up my senior class president role and missing my prom, but came back for graduation. But anyway, after that summer tour, that's when I said, I got to go to college. I got to learn more about music. And I auditioned at several places and auditioned at Indiana University, and they passed on me. But today, Indiana University African American Archives holds the Callaway collection of all of our archives. So that's the irony of
that. Well,
Kentucky State embraced me, and Mr. Remington Jordan said, "You want to come and be in my marching band?" I said, yes, sir. And the rest is history, so to speak. And I had the pleasure of meeting Bill Simmons and Belinda and Jeff and Gant and later Bowen Melvin, and then my brother joined Midnight Star later, and then the very last member, Bobby, joined right before the No Parking on the Dance Floor album, so right going into the fourth album. So yeah, it's a destiny if we follow the path, which is another one of our songs that Belinda wrote.
Oh, Belinda wrote it?
Yeah, Belinda wrote Follow the Path.
Oh,
yeah, she was a great songwriter herself.
You know, I reached out to her to try to have her as a guest on our show. I'm going to reach out to her again because she's so awesome. And, you know, and I say that because in the years you guys have been performing everything, and when I hear her sing, nothing has changed about her voice whatsoever. I haven't heard anything change. Her performances.
Trained.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so she won't
right.
Take
she's
care,
just
take care of that voice.
Right. She. I mean, from day one to now, when I see her perform, I'm like, she hasn't changed. Her voice hasn't changed one bit. You know, and she's just awesome. You know, wow. That's great. That is truly great. Well, Reggie, we're
yeah,
not going to hold you forever. I want to go. Yeah, definitely. I want to give everybody a chance to go around the board and give some final words. Truly appreciate you joining us today. And then, if you don't mind, I want you to share with all of us an upcoming writer, producers, or anyone who's in the business or the industry now, what advice you would give them. First, let's go to the lady of the house. Janet Davis, you got the mic.
Well, yes. Just make sure you let us know when you are coming this way so that we can come and see you in Atlanta.
We'll do.
We're going to bring the party bus.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Yeah. All that.
What's your favorite venue there for hearing live entertainment besides the big places?
The favorite concert venue, you know, for me, to be honest, I've been to a lot of them here, but I really like Mabel House. It's here in Mableton, mm-hmm. Georgia, and a lot of artists. Keith Sweat performs there. Wade Ford. I mean, they have Brian Culberson there. It used to be. Officer Crenshaw. What is the one down in Atlanta? See, that's how long ago it's been since I've been there. Mabel House. It's an outdoor theater. Of course, the Fox is great. Cobb Energy Center, if you're talking about indoors, but an outdoor venue. Well, that's an arena, but I'm talking about a little bit more closer and intimate. More closer and intimate would be like I said, the Mabel House. You know, it's an outdoor and it's covered. It's a covered arena, and then they have lawn seating too, you know. So that is really the hottest spot now, to be honest. A lot of groups book that venue. They got the parking is great. They got a park and ride for folks who want to park, you know, and do the park and ride, or you know, it's just a good location. It really is, and the acoustics are awesome.
Awesome.
Don't they have a lot of groups go to Piedmont Park also? No.
Yeah, but Piedmont Park is a park. They don't have a regular. Well, he's saying a venue, you know, that's really set mm-hmm. up for, you know, concerts or
well,
shows on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I'm saying is they're not there on a regular. Go ahead.
Will Downing,
Reggie.
Yep, yep. I'm just saying y'all got me interviewing y'all. So please ask me a question. But I just made notes of those so I'll know where we want to come to and definitely get back to you when it gets closer.
Yeah, just take a look at the ones that were mentioned, you know, but that's my choice is Mabel House. I mean, it's just a great location. I like the fact that it's outdoors, and they, you know, years ago they didn't have the roof, the awning over the seating, and they got like the table seating down up front, and then you have the stadium style. And then behind that, you have the lawn seating, you know. So I like that whole setup because then folks have an option, you know. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about, you know.
Oh, definitely.
So, yeah. So let me get to everyone saying their final words on the show. Let me do all the ladies first. I want to go to – no, in fact, I'm sorry. I'm going to hold on and let Cotton say last. Officer Crenshaw, your final words.
Brother, I love you. Keep doing it. It's you're going to keep me young. And if you keep me young, you're going to stay young. Keep doing it.
Thank you, Officer Quinzel. That is great, great words and great advice. And I just was, when I was talking to my Atlantic Star brothers, and we were talking about doing Thanksgiving, and we realized that the music is the medicine. You know, that keeps us all young.
Right.
And when you, yeah. Especially when you perform, because, you know, you got to get yourself together, you got to get out there, you got to stay in shape. And so we appreciate that extra boost.
Yeah, and then someone here, a friend of mine, Michonne, just texted me and said, quote, aging is not lost youth, but a new stage of opportunity and strength. And I guess that's a word from Betty Friedan, but that's what she shared. That's a good point. Aging is not lost youth, but a new stage of opportunity and strength. Thank you, Michonne, for sharing that with us. That's heavy. Cotton Campbell, what are your words for our guests? Cotton, are you there?
I'm here.
Yes, I'm talking to you now.
I'm here.
You're the only Cotton Campbell online, I think.
My phone went out, so I didn't get to hear the name. I'm like, dang, it got quiet. It must be me. I just want to say this with all sincerity, Reggie. I absolutely appreciate you just taking the time to come on the show, giving me the time to even open up the door to say, hey, can you come on our show? I still to this day listen to my family members who are older than me, who introduced me to Midnight Star, don't even know half the songs that I know because I still listen to them like they came out yesterday. So somebody saying, how do you know all these songs? Like, you don't remember this song? I can't even talk. You know what? I'm going to need you to go back and just, like, replay the whole album over and over till you refresh your memory. So I just want to say thank you for the opportunity. Honestly, it's a pleasure. Anytime, it's an honor to even just be associated with you in any kind of way. Like, I feel like I know Reggie Calloway. Hey.
Well, it is my pleasure and our pleasure. You know, I speak for all of us and my brother Vincent and the whole rest of my family, Midnight Star family, and you know, all the artists that we've had the pleasure of making music with. You know, this is something that we love, and you know, we love the people, and we love the ones who promote our music and spread it around the world. Because without you guys, you know, it'd be like putting a candle under the bushel basket. So we thank for exposing us to the light and keeping us driving, because our future is derived from, you know, the power that the past has given us. And the opportunity, you know, to reach more people and to do it in a more cohesive way. So there's much more to come. That's my only sadness, is that the thousands of songs that have been placed into my brain, I can't get to all of them, but I want to get to as many as I can. So
right.
I'll be working.
Amen. Yeah, you definitely be working. You definitely working. And
yeah.
I see here on the board a 323-338 number has been on the board pretty much the whole show. They dropped and it came back on. I think I know who this person is, but I think they're just trying to listen in. If you have something to say, go ahead and hit the number one and wave your hand. I can open your mic. Maybe they didn't know that was the instructions, but if you have something to say before we go, hit the number one on your phone, and I will open up your mic so you can respond before we go. Reggie, thank you again. And, you know, as I said, I used to DJ. I used to, you know, been in the record stores and everything. And all that time, you know, I go back to, like you were saying, back when Dick Griffey was starting Solar. I think I shared this with you before. I had a brother who worked there in promotion. So in the summer, I was up there all the time, you know.
Oh, wow.
I was up there at Solar. Yeah, and it was just so great. I remember Howard Hewitt when he had his dark hair. The Big Fun album hadn't even been released. And when I was telling you about the album I saw with you guys, I thought that was your first album. But, right, you guys didn't have that hit yet. But someone told me at Solar, I think it was Dina Andrews, who said,
oh, you just wait. And I'm like, okay. And it was worth the wait. And I'm like, okay, that's the group I saw album in the office that day. But, you know, it was just amazing to see how all that was going on. And you remember Motown was in the same building, you know, and all that type of stuff. And you'd see whoever at any point in time. But just thinking back to all that, I'm like, you know, it's just amazing to see, you know, from that point up to now, of when people hadn't heard your music per se on the radio or anything, but I was fortunate to see you guys, you know what I'm saying? Just see a photo of you and was told, right, just wait. And I'm like, wow, they were right. I see 323 did wave their hand, 338. I'm going to go ahead and open up their mic and let them say hello. I don't know who this is, but it looked like a California number. 323-338, welcome to the show. Our guest is Reggie Calloway. You want to say something?
Hi, Reggie. Hi, Michael. And the lady put the show together. Wow, this is Andrea, and I'm calling from San Fernando Valley. And I remember back when Midnight Star, Freakazoid, and that whole era. And I think it was a Friday night, and I was telling my girlfriends, I said, we need to go over to this particular club. And we just said, oh, my God, wouldn't that be great if Midnight Star is there? We had no idea y'all was there. Get to this particular club. Sure enough, everybody's standing in line, and we asked them, who are you guys here to see? They said, Midnight Star. And I said, oh, my God, look at that. Less than an hour of me saying that we'd like to see them. We had no idea, but that was a manifestation. Plus, I had a chance to meet some of the band members, Reggie and his brother, also The Deal, and was able to see No Parking on the Dance Floor video being made. And so it was just a wonderful time in my life, and I will never forget it. The Deal and all, Reggie Calloway and your brothers, and everybody that was connected to the Ripple Effect was very talented. You played your own instrument, and talent's not made like that anymore. So thank you for being who you are, even now, in the journey that you're at now. But where you started at many years ago and coming out of where you come from, Ohio, come on now, Cleveland, Ohio, and Cincinnati and that whole area. Error is just a gold mine. So thank you. I remember you being on Michael Gay's show last year, so I'm glad I tuned in today. And so it just brings back some wonderful, wonderful memories in my life. So thank you.
Andrea, you are amazing. You are a part of our history. The club that you came to, was that when we recorded the last Midnight Star concert? Was that that show? I know you said you saw
The venue was called the Speakeasy.
Okay. My goodness. And then you were able to see us making the No Parking on the Dance Floor out video.
I wasn't actually in the video, but I was invited guest.
Oh my goodness. We are so thankful for you. And wow, that's a great story. performed, my brother and I just performed in Carson Park for Juneteenth, and I ran into a person who said that we had performed at Disney for his prom night. And I'm like, wow, what a memory that was around that same time. So we have a lot of people that have been supporting us for all these years. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Well, know that you've touched a lot of people that you may never think of. But, again, thank you for showing up with talent. Wow. This is awesome. And you're sharing golden nuggets for the – can you share a golden nugget or two for the young artists who look up to you and emulate? Do you have some information for them how they should start out today?
Oh, for sure. You know, there's two different – approaches to this thing. You know, if you love music, it certainly can be a hobby, you know, that you can just do it to enjoy, and, you know, you're not trying to be, we use the word rock star, you know, you're not trying to, you know, you do it for the love of it, and you can do that for the rest of your life, especially if you play an instrument like guitar, piano. It just soothes you. So do that. The other side is the ones who really do want to pursue a career, and they really want to get better. Then that course is, you know, get better a little bit every day. And that means, you know, taking lessons and, you know, voice lessons, you know, learn an instrument so that you're not just the vocalist. You can also begin to understand how the music is put together and write the music. So just like Michael Jordan, the greatest basketball player in the world, would have several coaches and trainers, you know, don't be afraid to do that, because a lot of artists are so into themselves that they have a, not just artists, but people in general, we have an attitude. This is just who I am. This is just the way I am. And if you stay just the way you are, then that's about where you're going to be. So get that training, you know, whether it's school or whether it's the private teachers in every area. You know, if you want to sing gospel, then you need a gospel teacher as well. If you want to sing R&B, you need somebody that can guide you along that path. So be specific. Get the training. And then when you want to do it, give yourself time. It's perseverance and focus over time. It's not focus for 1 month and I didn't make it and you're done. You know, like I said, it took us 4 albums to get that first hit record, which is unheard of today. And we auditioned to come back in 2 years. If somebody tells you to come back in 2 years, that can be very disheartening. But the guy was exactly right. One thing was, 2 years later, we signed with Solar instead of Motown, so it was their loss. But, you know, hang in there, go for it, get advice, and then build your team. We were fortunate enough to have our mother, Gloria Larson, be one of the first, not one of the first, the first person of our team, because you know, she believed in us. Not only as a mother, but as a manager, as she became manager of Midnight Star, manager of The Deal and Babyface and L.A. Reid, as we brought them into the industry. So you want to build a team. You want to know who your lawyer is, who your manager is, who your agent is. And you don't get one in the beginning because you're not making any money. So what you have to do is build your following. So build it yourself. Bring along the team that wants to roll with you. And then build your team as you go. I think that's a mouthful.
Very good advice. Very good advice. Well, you guys, I guess we're going to wrap it up. Again, for all you folks that are in Cincinnati, please. Oh, wait a minute. Let me look here. Reggie, I know you're busy, but can I go ahead and let this other caller chime in and say hi to you if you got a moment?
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. I don't want to hold you. As I said, I don't want to hold you all night, but folks will chime in at the last minute.
I don't have any
barbecue ribs
for me right now, so.
Oh, okay.
The grill is not fired up, so we're good.
Okay. Well, no, that's Janet calling back in, so hold on a minute. That's Janet calling back in. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's her number.
Okay.
I got her back. But, okay, so unfortunately, sometimes here on Blog Talk, the calls will drop, and so I have to bring them back in. Again, you guys that are in Cincinnati, Ohio, that's listening, and again in Cleveland, make sure you make it to this fascinating event that's going to happen on the 23rd of this month. And again, Reggie, remind them where this location is going to be and the time, this awesome honor that's going to be given to you and the group.
It's going to be down on the river in Cincinnati, Ohio, in front of the stadium. And it's also Music Festival weekend, so, you know, be prepared for the crowds, and it should be an awesome time, and just so much looking forward to it. You can also find information on Instagram, on my Instagram, Reggie Calloway, Facebook, Reggie Calloway, TikTok, Reggie Calloway. And there's a lot of flyers that will give you a little bit more information. But it's at the Andrew Brady Music Center. Andrew Brady Music Center, noon to 3 in Cincinnati, Ohio, on July 23rd.
Amen. All right. That should be so awesome. That really should be so awesome. Well, look, man, thank you again. I truly appreciate you. We all love you. And, again, we will be ready when you get here. We'll have the party bus gassed up. Everybody, make sure you have $100 apiece because you know how much gas is. So be ready to fill it up. So how many is what? We better all have $100 apiece. No, we better have – no, that's not paying for the bus. That's just the gas. Okay, so everybody have $100 apiece to fill it up two or three times, okay, as we move around the town. But, yeah, thank you so much. And, you know, you guys, last week, as you know, that Karen was here, and we had a great time with her. Now Reggie's here. We got some more great guests that are going to be joining us in weeks to come. So make sure you're always here on the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network. Don't forget that Cotton Campbell Show is every third Thursday of the month. And, you know, I'm glad that I added more time to these shows because today what I'm going to do, closing out, we're going to say goodnight to Reggie and look forward to seeing him in the not-too-distant future. But we're going to leave out with close to an hour, well, not quite an hour, but I'll say about a good 45 minutes of a great mega mix of some of those hidden gems and those classics from Midnight Star. And I know you guys are going to love it. Oh, yeah. I mean, Reggie, what is one thing? Let me hear you say, oh, oh. Let me hear you say, oh, oh, oh. Oh, I mean, those albums. Yeah, all the time because we're going to open up as we close out. We're going to open up with a mega mix of a lot of the greatest hits, those hidden gems from Midnight Star. Again, Reggie Calloway, thank you. God bless you. You guys, please make sure you go to YouTube, pull up the videos, and watch them. And as he said, you can see where they did it with the cameras and everything. Very creative, by the way, which you shared how it was done with the cameras in St. Martin. And pull up a lot of Reggie Calloway music, the Calloway Brothers, and, of course, Midnight Star. And if you don't already have it, you need to start saving it and making it your collection. Always support these iconic individuals, okay? Always support them.
Michael.
Okay? Yes.
Real quick, next Saturday we have Amar from Tony Tone that's going to be on the show next Saturday. I just wanted to make sure we put that out there for the listeners.
Okay, thank you. Amar Khalil from Tony, one of the original members of Tony, will be on. And then coming up next month in August, we have, this cat here. Mr. Carl Thomas is going to be joining us because he and Karen White will be here in Atlanta. So you guys, make sure you mark your calendars and make sure you go to the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network, to see all updates on those shows. Reggie, I know you guys are working on, you know, doing some shows and everything, but what are you working on right now as we speak? New music or getting on the road and performing, or a combination of both?
It's a combination of everything.
I would choose the latter. Yeah, I would choose the combination.
Getting older, you get to do so many different things. But as I said, I'm doing specialty financing to fund writers and producers and artists against their royalties without filling any of their royalties. Vincent and I are working on a new Calloway Brothers record for this summer. In fact, the goal is to have it finished and the video finished in 2 weeks. Can you imagine that? And then you set in line for this year's Grammy so we can try to be in consideration on time that. But this next song, I'm giving it away, is one, you know, for our age group to get that lifeline, to get back to exercise and then working out, dancing, you know, having a good time, all the things that keep us healthy. So that's the kind of party song this is going to be. And then we're, like I said, we have the Calloway collection. We're constantly adding things to that collection in Indiana University. We are in the Nashville African American Music Museum with a display there. So just, you know, everything is just coming around. I'm on the board of directors of several music organizations that are fighting for the rights of creatives to get more money in areas and also education. So it's really a full time and a joyful time. And at the same time, learning how to enjoy life and, you know, trying to be a better person every day, a better father, a better brother, a better family member, you know, all that stuff. It's always a work in progress. So never.
I love to see that you. I love to see that you guys are getting your flowers now. You know what I mean? You know, I hear that term a lot. Don't wait and give flowers later on when they're not here. Give them their flowers now, because you guys have given us a hell of a lot more than flowers over years. You know what I mean? You gave us the soundtrack of our lives. You really have. You guys have really given us soundtracks of our lives, and it amazes me how not many young kids, but there are some young kids that fortunately their parents played the music around them. You know what I mean? And they appreciate it, and they listen to it, and they can actually sing the words. I'm like, oh, so your parents played a lot of music in the house. Mm-hmm. I know about Midnight Star. I know about Cameo. I know about, I'm like, well, how old are you? 13. Okay. You know, very rare do you run into that. But that's a blessing to hear someone that young knowing the history of R&B. Thank you, Reggie, again. Hey, you guys, Mr. Reggie Calloway, our guest today.
Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a good night. Happy Independence Day. Free
our mind. All right.
Good night.
Thank you, Reggie. Thank you so much. Good night, everybody. Okay, as promised,
you,
I'm going to go ahead. Thank you. And as promised, I'm going to go ahead and start off this mega mix, and it's going to run for a little while, and I'm sure you guys are going to be surprised. And stay tuned. You're going to be surprised at some of these hits. I mean, serious, these hidden gems from Midnight Star. And I just happened to run across this mix, and I said, oh, I got to close the show out with this. All right, so let me pull it up, and I think I'm almost there. I can scroll down. Just the opening two tracks are going to get you hooked. All right? Again, thanks to all my co-hosts, to all the people who called in, Janet Davis, Officer Crenshaw, Time and Ship, and, of course, Cotton Campbell. You guys, enjoy this holiday weekend. Please be safe out there. You know, there's going to be a lot of crazy people on the road. Stay away from them, okay? All right, here we go. We'll see you next Saturday. God bless. Stay safe.
Night. Feeling. They had a true love, but they just didn't know how to talk to one another so the feeling could show. To each other, they wouldn't be both. Had to ruin that rock, had to rock that boat.
Boy, we made up a mistake.
love to have your company. I can't imagine the way you feel. I gotta get to know you, baby, and that's for real. If I get a lot of love close to you, I can feel it, baby. Can you feel it too? It's close to midnight. The clock keeps on ticking. Got to get next to you.
Take your love me. Take your love me. Take your love me. Person to person, how is